Thank you very much, Tim and Heidi, for welcoming us here. I know we tried to do something some months ago. We spent a lot of time trying to put those dates together. And I remember we're ready to drive out. And Tim called and said, hey, there's no one coming to church today. There's snow all over the place. So, and that time I was supposed to come to talk about food. Is that right? Many cultures, food is a big deal, including our culture. So I was excited about that. Yes. If it's about food any day, I can come and talk about food. It didn't work out because for some reason, God just wouldn't allow me to be here. And this time around, I was told, you're coming, please come, but your topic is fasting. How bad can it get? So, being a man under authority, I'm talking to you about fasting. I'm not going to announce any fasting after the service. I'll leave that to Tim and Heidi. But it's a joy to be with you, finally to be here, and to be a part of the big family of Salt and Light. We are part of Salt and Light. And I remember I came to this particular building for a Salt and Light leaders meeting somewhere upstairs. I think it was here in the office. So, but I will not worship with you yet. So it's a joy to be with you today. We love to be with Salt and Light family. You probably don't know that there's a Salt and Light church somewhere in Sheffield, but that's where we are. That's where we are laboring. And we thank God for connecting us to Tim and Heidi. And we've heard so much about this church, and we identify with what you're doing. May the Lord bless you. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to us about praying with fasting for breakthrough. I think a lot of work was covered last week. Heidi spoke about praying. And so my job today is simple to add a few things that she should have said, she didn't say, so, and then we close and pray. How about that? Every year in our church in Sheffield, we start our year in September, and it's our tradition to start by praying with fasting, different kinds of fast. It's almost a thing that we do every single year, and part of doing that is to intensify our intimacy with God. So we come up with a theme this year is Your Kingdom Come. And then we take time to pray through that and ask God to lead us throughout the year. There's this thing about seeking God before you get into a ministry year. So this topic, as I was given, I was like, this is a significant thing to talk about, but also humbling, because no one can ever be an expert in fasting. No one can ever be an expert in praying. We never arrive with this topic. We keep learning and keep growing. And I pray that as we tap into this power of praying with fasting, that the atmosphere in our world will change, the atmosphere in our homes will change, the atmosphere in our church will stand. I think my prayer is that the church of God will have the strongest atmosphere of prayer when they come together, because that changes things and it allows God to do what no man can do. God does things in 2 minutes what 3 years of counseling has failed to do. So when we pray and fast, those are some of the things that we are believing God to break through and change our lives forever. I want to talk, I know we've been talking about walking with Jesus as a church. And so we will look at how Jesus walked this journey of praying with fasting for breakthroughs. And for me, the biggest breakthrough that came in the scriptures is the birth of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus comes into a world that is so politicized and corrupted by the political leaders and religious leaders. And the spiritual atmosphere that time, at best, is lukewarm. And Jesus shows up in a stable. But in the midst of all this gloomy kind of atmosphere, there's an elderly lady, a widow for that matter, called Prophetess Anna. Or Anne. Is it Anne? prophetess Anna. It's giving her a new name. We're introduced to this lady in Luke chapter 2, verse 36. This lady had some spiritual practices that made her not miss one of the biggest breakthroughs in the history of mankind. God being God, she managed to prophetically walk into the temple when Jesus was being dedicated because she was in a place where she practiced some disciplines that prepared her for a major breakthrough in the nation of Israel. So 36, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, is it? Do you guys put something on the screen, Bible-wise? Luke chapter 2, verse 36, says, "And there was a prophetess and the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and praying night and day." So here is a lady who for decades has been doing three things. She has been continually praying, and she has been practicing regular fasting. And thirdly, she has kept the faith in the Messiah who's coming. The Bible is clear that she was a lady who fasted. And because she fasted, she was able to be a part of the breakthrough of Jesus being born. So that happened right in the beginning of the Gospels. But further on, did Jesus practice fasting and praying? In Luke chapter 4, Jesus has just had a glorious experience of heaven's opening when he was being baptized. And they heard the voice of God saying, "I'm pleased with my son." And the Bible says in Luke 4, after that he was led by the Spirit to the desert, to the wilderness, to be tempted of the devil. And it so happens that in those 40 days and 40 nights, that's the time when Jesus was fasting. And there are only two individuals recorded in Scripture that fasted for that long. That is Elijah and Moses, these two. And incidentally, God used these two to bring major breakthroughs in the children of Israel, or the nation of Israel. And somehow, there's a connection between praying with fasting and breakthrough. Throughout Scripture, those two are one coined by two sides. So that's what I want to talk about Jesus' timing. His season of praying and fasting, that timing is significant because it was during that time or after that time that Jesus intensified his intimacy with the Father. First things first, when we pray and seek God with fasting, the major thing we're looking for is to be close to God. It's to be so close to God that we are sensitive to his voice. And this is what we see Jesus doing 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, seeking God, and he's tempted during even that time. I think the greater intimacy is deepened when we fast, when we seek God. But another thing that we realize about this period when Jesus fasted is the major life adjustment he had to make. After that time, Jesus had to stop work in the carpenter's shop and focus on the calling that he had, that is to build his church. It was a significant moment for him that he needed time to pray and fast and seek God as he was getting into a big part of his calling or the reason of coming to earth. So whenever God is dealing with us in our lives and there are major adjustments that we need to make in our lives, it makes a lot of sense for Christians to take time to pray with fasting. The other thing that happened to Jesus as he was praying and fasting is the anointing. The anointing. He was anointed, the Bible says, with the fullness of the Spirit without measure. Without measure. And the reason Jesus was anointed with the Spirit without measure was to destroy the works of the devil. There were yokes that needed to be broken. There were chains that needed to fall. And there were lives that needed to experience the power of God. And for that, it took him fasting. Acts 10:38 says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. So from the moment Jesus returned to Galilee, Luke 4, verse 18 says, and he returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the way I read that is, from that moment onwards, Jesus is experiencing breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Whoever he meets, when he's walking into a place, demons respond. They call out his name and he casts them out. Some are sick, some are reaching out for his garment, they're being healed. And when he opens his mouth to preach the word, they say, we've never heard a preacher like this before. Something happened when he came from fasting. It was no longer business as usual. I suppose it's the same for any church. I suppose it's the same for any Christian, that business can't continue as usual after missing chocolate for 40 days and 40 nights. It can be, can it? Warsaw can never be the same. Sheffield can never be the same when the anointing of God comes upon us. Breakthrough after breakthrough. What does Jesus himself say about praying and fasting? Well, we've seen that he did practice praying and fasting, but what did he say about it? Well, Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, there are three key things that Jesus says about praying or seeking him. In fact, he says, when you give, and he says, when you pray, when you fast, he was talking to Christians. It says, though Jesus was not giving us an option, was he? If you don't mind, say amen, you'll help me. You're scaring me from here. Amen. Notice that Jesus was kind of saying, if really you seek God, if really you're a child of God, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, fasting is part of the core elements of this life. This is the life God has called us to. A life of seeking him, humbling ourselves before him. Bringing down our appetites so that the spiritual sensitivity can rise within us and we hear the voice of God. So God does not seem to consider fasting as an extra credit for following him. He seems to be taking it as a basic Christian practice for all of us, whether we are from Africa, whether we're from Asia, whether we're from England, it doesn't make a difference to heaven. I've heard people say, Africans pray a lot. Asians pray a lot. You should hear them praying. The English don't. Where do we get that from? It's not in the Bible. This verse was not referring to Asians. You're quiet now. This verse was referring to a new tribe called Christians. And these come from all corners of the world. And yet God still requires them to fast from whatever they eat, whether it's ugali, whether it's rice, whether it's sima, whether it's whatever it is, God says, when you call on me, there's a place for fasting in your life. And so this takes us to Matthew chapter 17. I want to read this all. You can put it up on the screen, please. Matthew 17 from verse 14. I'll just read this paragraph because this is where I want us to pull a few lessons about praying and fasting for breakthrough. Verse 14, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said to him, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Other versions skip this, don't have this verse 21, but most ancient manuscripts have it. And it says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. What intrigues me about this scripture, Jesus was at the Mount of Transfiguration, an awesome spiritual experience that they had with James, John, and Peter, where Jesus, where God showed up. There was a cloud, and Peter enjoyed the presence, said, can I build tents up here? We live here forever, because Moses and Elijah then appeared. And then as they go down, they realize that the other disciples have failed to cast a demon out of this son, or out of this boy. And the father is so concerned about his son. You can imagine how he felt. Because this demon will throw this kid in the fire, or on water. He will do all sorts of convulsions. It was a difficult case. It was an impossible situation. And the disciples tried all they could, and nothing worked. So what intrigues me in this story is not the question they ask. The question is a very important one. They say, why could we not cast out this demon? That's not what surprises me. What intrigues me is the people asking the question. The question can be asked by anybody, but the people, the quality of the people asking this question are the disciples. And who are the disciples? The disciples, if you remember, were personally chosen, called, and designated by Jesus himself as apostles. And here they are with their classification as apostles, and they can't cast a demon from a small boy. But not only that, the disciples were the only people who had 24/7 access to the King of Kings. He lived with them. The disciples were the only guys who had taken the course on how to pray effective prayers. You remember when they asked him, teach us how to pray. And he taught them the Lord's Prayer. And here they are, a little boy has a demon, they can't cast it out. If you remember, the disciples were the ones that had were taught not only the scriptures, but lived with the very word that had become flesh. They touched the scriptures. They just hear the scriptures. And there's a boy with a demon, they can't cast out the demon. They were failing to have a breakthrough in their lives at that moment. These were the same guys that had spiritual experiences that are unbelievable. Peter and his company, they had this boat sinking, net breaking catch of fish. And Peter fell on his feet and said, I'm going to follow this man for the whole of my life. If I'm going to have fish this much, I might as well follow this man. I'm sorted for life. Then we have this the text man, Matthew. When he has an encounter, just one encounter with Jesus Christ, he walked away from his text booth and never came back. Never went back to his job. Just one encounter with Jesus Christ changed his life forever. Then we have Nathaniel, the sharp, smart guy, whose theology was that nothing good can ever come from Sheffield. Did I say Sheffield? Nothing good can ever come from Nazareth. One encounter with the king, he says, you are my Lord. How did you even know I was reading my scriptures under the fig tree? And Jesus says, you seek more things. These are the people that are now confronted with a situation they can't break through. Incredible miracles. They have been with Jesus. They've seen Jesus exercise power over nature, power over sickness, power over death, power over demonic holds, casting them out. They'd seen this with their own eyes. They had even done a few things themselves. They had prayed and God had answered them. They'd cast out demons. And we remember when they came back from being sent, they said, we saw demons being cast out and we enjoyed ourselves. And the dad brings a demon-possessed boy right through and they can't deal with it. And you will think that Jesus' answer will be a pastoral answer. So they say to their pastor, Pastor, we can't cast out this demon. And the pastor says, how long will I be with you? Don't you get it? It wasn't a nice response from Jesus Christ, but he was working on something. He was saying to them, I'll let you on a little secret about this, which you failed to deal with. Because he dealt with it very quickly, cast out the demon. And then in private, because what they had in public sounded like a rebuke. So in private, they say to him, how is it that we have done this before, we've cast out demons before, but with this one we are failing? Yes, there's a faith issue. Says, yeah, there's a faith situation here. You've got little faith. We know that, the mustard seed and everything else. But the punchline is verse 21, where he says, this kind is different from what you have dealt with before. He says, I know you have seen a lot of things. I know you have dealt with a lot of things. This one is different. The kind of breakthrough you need to get for this particular one requires different tools. Requires a different place for you to be at, a different dimension of dealing with this one. He uses the word, this kind. This was from Jesus Christ's mouth. It says, this kind is different. I don't know whether you've been in that place where the disciples found themselves in, where saying, why, Lord? I've been there several times. Why can't I deal with this, Lord? Have you been in that place where you're praying for everybody sick, they get healed, but you yourself are sick and nothing is happening? You're praying for people's children to get a breakthrough and your children are not getting a breakthrough. You're praying for other people in other churches to have a breakthrough. It happens, but in your church, this thing is still stuck. Is someone with me here? Or am I alone in this zone? Where you say, but I've dealt with this before. I've been through this before. And nothing seems to be happening. And Jesus will have me say to you, this kind is different. This kind is different. So he says, I want to let you on a little secret. The secret is this. The kind that you fail to cast out requires praying with fasting. Prayer and fasting is the birthing room for breakthroughs. No wonder Jesus started his ministry in the wilderness, not in a skyscraper building somewhere. He chose the birthing room for breakthroughs to follow him wherever he went. That's what happened. Some of the life-dominating issues we have in our lives require just one dimension of breakthrough. And this dimension is what Heidi was talking about last week. It's the dimension of prayer. You can be looking for a job. You could be looking for a house. You could be looking for a place for a child to go to school to. Some of these dimensions are requiring prayer. Some of these issues, I call them life-dominating issues, because when a child is sick, epileptic, making convulsions and all that, that's a life-dominating issue. The family life is no longer the same because of a sick child. The family life is dominated by the presenting issue. And I don't know about Warsaw, but in Sheffield, we have life-dominating issues. I'm in Warsaw. God lives here, so things don't happen here of that kind. But the life-dominating issues that we're dealing with in Sheffield require much, 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 much more than prayer. But not in Warsaw, right? Here, we just deal with it by prayer. We're done. Where I come from, we got stuff that we need to deal with, life-dominating issues. But only God can break through. So we thank God for the first dimension of prayer, people calling on the name of the Lord and things happening. This prayer is important because it does result in some spiritual breakthroughs. And we love God for that. However, there is a kind that does not respond to first dimension solution. The disciples were using the first response, or rather the first dimension tool of prayer to cast out this problem that was on another level. So they are trying to solve a problem that is up here using this tool that is here. And it was not responding. They say, but we have done this before. No, this kind does not respond to that solution. And so Jesus kind of upscales their theology. Because all along he has been talking about fasting as though it's optional. You remember when the Pharisee said, why is it that your disciples don't fast? And all of us fast. He said, well, how can they when the bride is here, when the groom is here? But a time will come when they will have to do it. And Matthew 17 was one of those times. And so, this kind was stubborn. It wouldn't go. I'll tell you why it's a bit difficult to pick this problem. Because this boy's issue presented itself as epilepsy. Dr. Luke tells us, and Luke says, this kid was epileptic. But that's according to medical diagnosis. When Jesus is confronted with this problem, he names it for what it is. He says, there's a spiritual problem with this kid. Dr. Luke says, listen, this is a medical issue. But God says the solution to this medical issue is not just one level. There is another level we have to go into praying and fasting to break this hold over this child. So this is something that NHS cannot deal with. We love NHS and we pray for it. But there is a level where God's intervention has to raise the game. Am I? Are we still together on this one? The problem with a life-dominating issue of this kind is that on the surface, it presents itself as a normal problem. But underneath this normal problem, there's a lot of action happening, activity happening, movement happening in the spirit realm. And so, when Jesus shows up, who has been fasting, underneath the surface of all this sickness, the demon is triggered to act and throw this boy down. Luke says, the boy fell as though dead. That's what Luke says. It's supposed to be just a simple medical problem. The Bible says, this kind goes by praying and fasting. So there is a kind that requires a different solution to what we're used to. And this kind of a life-dominating issue, to get a breakthrough at that level, you need to be praying and fasting. You need to be mixing praying with fasting. And God will come through. God is in the business of bringing breakthroughs, but there are principles that we follow for breakthroughs. There are spiritual principles that we follow for breakthroughs. I know sometimes breakthroughs, we think they just come like that, but I think there's a process and there are principles that God has laid in Scripture to allow us to walk how we walked, breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Yes, there'll be obstacles. Yes, there'll be challenges. Yes, there'll be things that will make us question, what is it that is stopping us from having a breakthrough? But when we get back to God in a place of praying and fasting, we get closer to God and we get to be in a place where we can hear God speak to us about how to deal with life-dominating issues like this story we've just read. It's a very difficult story. The Bible doesn't even tell us about where the mother was, and I understand. It was a deep. Can you imagine facing this kind of a problem in the 21st century? Only God could deal with this. The Bible says the father knelt before Jesus Christ in public, un-Jewish. In public, because he was desperate. He had come to the end of his thinking. He was fed up with it. He wanted a breakthrough. Saying, my life cannot continue the same. Something has to happen to my child. And so he took the child to his pastors. Took the child to his neighbor who's a Christian. So my neighbor, can you deal with this? I've tried all, but it's not working. I just want you to round off. I think my time is gone. Tim, I'm not in Africa. I know that. I want to preach the everlasting gospel, so I'm not going to take the whole day. I'm going to finish now. I'm joking. Here we go. I want to just finish with these things, three things that I believe happen when we pray with fasting for a breakthrough. Something we can take to the bank and cash in. Number one thing is this. When we seek God with praying and fasting, I know we have got many, there are many philosophies and ideas out there about praying and fasting. There are people that believe that only pastors should fast. Is that right? At least in Sheffield, not here in Warsaw. You guys are, yeah, you know. But where I am, they're like, oh, pastor, please pray and fast for me. So I miss all my meals while you're enjoying yourself and I'm praying and fasting for you. Is that fair? No. There are people that believe that fasting is important for losing weight, but it has no spiritual value. There are people that believe that fasting is putting pressure on God to do something for me, almost like we are manipulating God. But I like to believe that when we pray and fast, we become channels for God's power to flow through so that we may have a breakthrough. God's power flows because we make ourselves vulnerable. We bring ourselves to a place where God can access us and his power. He can trust us with his power to not stay in one place, but to flow to touch somebody's life. That's what God is looking for. Because the kingdom of God is never meant to be domesticated. The kingdom of God is meant to break through and break out through people that have been filled with the Spirit of God. That's what Warsaw is called for. I love this church because you do so many walks. You do so. You are so much about street ministry. Walking up to a person, can I pray for you? I love that. Because the mentality of doing that is allowing the power of God to flow through us, touching lives. That's powerful. But you've got to be in the wilderness first. In a dry wilderness so that you are soaked with the anointing to touch the streets of Warsaw. You remember Daniel? Daniel, while serving kings in Babylon, God used him mightily, that the power of God was flowing in him, through him, touching kings and royal places for the kingdom of God. One man and his friends. Changing the atmosphere in Babylon because they were men of prayer and fasting. Yes, there was levels where they could deal with stuff, but Daniel knew that there are certain levels where he needed to put himself away from food and everything and seek the face of God. And breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough was his lifestyle. You see, we don't pray and fast because we are looking for a quick fix. We pray and fast as a lifestyle so that our lifestyle, our second name is breakthrough. Uh-oh. Got to be careful now. Number two, I think when we pray and fast, we walk under open heavens. Heavens, what we have learned, my wife and I, when we came to Sheffield, we actually did not have relatives in Sheffield. We're just from Zimbabwe. Two Zimbabweans saying we're missionaries. We are what? We're missionary. Where? In England. England is a Christian nation. Go back home. So we didn't know anybody. And I'm thinking, so how do we even plant it? Where do we start? Where do we plant a church from? I can tell you one thing. We prayed like mad. We prayed like mad. But you see, how many of you know that praying only is not the end of the story? You got to go out of this, go right into the streets, get into universities, get into all sorts of places, and try to allow the Spirit of God to flow through you and order your words and your steps at the same time so that you know how to speak, who to speak to, and how to present yourself. So 14 years later, we're part of a fellowship in Sheffield. That has got people from all sorts of places. But it's not done yet. We're still praying. Say, Lord, breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. So we've learned a lot through prayer. We've felt cases where we're saying, how will we deal with this? When we came, our oldest son was 4 months old. Today he's taller than me. We are blessed by that because it reminds us of how God has been faithful. And most of that has come through seeking God in prayer with fasting. And God can do that. Open heavens. When I'm talking about open heavens, I'm saying heavens don't open at their own accord. There are spiritual principles that open heavens. And one of them is praying with fasting. Paul says, writing to the Corinthian church, he says, he was in fastings often. In 1 Corinthians 11, 2 Corinthians 11 says, he was in fastings often. So when Paul traveled to a city, heavens were opened. You will travel Ephesus, heavens will open. You will travel to Colossae, heavens will open. Thessalonians, heavens will open. Derby, heavens will open. Warsaw, heavens will open with prayer and fasting. Nothing can stop the flow of the power of God. No heart is too hard for God. No area is too difficult for God. No person is impossible to God. That's why God doesn't get it when we say, oh, such and such people pray more than such so and so. It doesn't work in heaven. Because the power of God is indiscriminate. And war soul is in God's equation. If you don't mind, just say amen. Amen. Thank you. So the last thing is this one, then I'll sit down. When we pray and fast, we experience what I call the supernatural intervention of God. Supernatural. That day he brought his son to Jesus, that was supernatural. You can't explain it. You can't even begin to explain to someone, how did it even happen? Well, this man came and said, you demon, come out. Really? Is that all? Yes, that's all. We had a few months ago, I don't know whether you know, Tom Bedford from the U.S., part of Salt and Light family. He was in Sheffield Community Church. Now, there was a situation of a lady who has a problem with, is it thyroid? For years, she has had this problem. A medical diagnosis was given. I can't remember the medical terms. It's this long as my arm. Complicated. Even praying for her, you can't even pronounce the name yourself. For years, she struggled with this thing. And so Pastor Tom comes and says, we are praying that God will open heavens in this place as we pray for people. This girl comes for prayer. in less than 2 minutes, this thing is broken. In less than 2 minutes. So we send it back to the doctor, say, go to NHS and have that tested. It's important that you know. And the doctor say, we don't even know why you're here. There's nothing here. It's gone. As in like, are you sure you had this problem? Yes, she had it. We know it. She had it. After taking long praying and doing all sorts, but because for this conference we're prepared with prayer and fasting, the impossible happened. The supernatural happened. God intervened way beyond my pastoral skills could deliver. Where we blank out, God fills in the blanks. Amen? Because he's a faithful God. The supernatural breaks through. Isaiah says, you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. Isaiah 58. That is the God we save. When we invite the Holy Spirit to intervene in our lives, he lifts the loads, he lifts the weights off our shoulders and he breaks through. This is what I call a breakthrough anointing of God. This is how God wants us to live. This is how God wants us to walk like him, like his son Jesus Christ, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit for breakthrough after not one breakthrough. Let's not limit God to that. There are life-dominating issues that God wants to deal with in my life, in your life, but also beyond us, God wants to deal with situations. So we need this. Worship team, I'm done. We need this. Amen? So I'd like to pray, if you don't mind. And then I'll hand over to Pastor Tim to direct us how to move from there. But I'll just pray. Father, we thank you for being here right now by your Spirit. I thank you for your word this morning. And I'm so grateful that, Lord, you were able to explain to us that there's a kind that goes by praying with fasting. And today I'm thankful, Lord, that your anointing destroys yokes in such a way that no man can do it. And that, Father, your power destroys the works of the enemy in our lives. Thank you, my Lord, for the power to reveal things that may have been hidden from us. But this morning you are able to do the impossible for us. Your word is very clear that what is impossible with men is possible with God. So our hope and our faith is in you today. That, Lord God, you will shift things in our lives. That life-dominating issues will be broken. And that we will experience a breakthrough because of Jesus Christ. So we give you glory and we give you honor. We speak open heavens today. Intervene, my Lord, in different situations in this room that no man can touch, no man can even understand. But you are God. Would you intervene, Spirit of God, and start moving in ways that only you can do? We welcome you, Spirit of God. We invite you to this place because, like that Father, Lord, we have nowhere else to go. We cannot take our problems anywhere else except at the foot of the cross. For in you we have victory upon victory upon victory. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.